Hey guys, today's episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants is sponsored by Zöttler Beer. Zöttler offers a variety of amazing beers, and on September 17th, tomorrow, you can try some of them for yourself by joining in on their next live beer tasting event. Just go to their website, shop.zoetler.de, to sign up for a two-hour live tasting via YouTube, which includes 6 specialty beers that are sent in a really stylish package to your front door. There's 2 professional beer sommeliers who are going to host the tasting. It's got an interactive smartphone software, like an app on your phone, that allows you to rate the beers yourself, and there's a quiz with a winner at the end. That's shop.zoetler.de to sign up for yourself, or you can gift it to you can gift the tasting to a friend who's a big drinker, like me. So let's get to the show. Hello, Morit.
Hello. This is weird because we haven't done this in quite a while, and you never, I don't think you have ever called me Moritz at the beginning of an episode so far.
Well, yeah, it's usually like Captain Bat, Mr. Mo, Dr. Mo, Dr. Bat. Usually it's Dr. Bat.
Dr. Bat.
Dude, how are you, man? You look
good.
Yeah,
I am super good. I'm basically on vacation the whole month. Besides, I got some other jobs I do here and there, but from the station, I'm on vacation the whole month.
That's awesome.
I really enjoy it.
You said you and Tony were going to do some traveling, right?
Yeah, we went to Lago Maggiore, but only for, I guess, 5 days. But it was pretty cool.
Yeah, what'd you guys do there? Because now that you're continuously off of social media, I don't see too much of what goes on when in between our episodes.
Like, I had 2 things on my mind, like things I expect from this short trip. And one was, and I think we can agree on that, extraordinary food. And The second was, like, I want to be on a boat once. And
you want to be on a boat once.
Like, on.
Wait, have you never been on a boat?
I've been on boats a lot, but I really like boats. And my goal was to be on a boat while being at Lago Maggiore. And both worked out.
I see.
So it was great. The weather was awesome because here, I don't know if you've recognized it because you've probably been indoor most of the time. We'll get to that later. But the weather here, end of August, has been pretty shitty, and we thought, like, okay, it's autumn now. And then you go south of the Alps and it's like still perfect summer, and that was great.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, that sounds really good. I would love to go on a vacation right now. I think that the closest thing that I will see to that for quite some time is probably going to be going to my in-laws, going to your hometown for a little while, which is still something. It's still not the closed confines of my apartment.
And a lot of people actually pay a lot of money to spend their vacation there.
That's the funny thing too. I go there and I
hate
absolutely do not take advantage. I definitely do not take advantage of the reasons people, they're like, let's go skiing, let's go snowboarding, let's go hiking, let's go mountain climbing, let's go biking. I'm like, let's just
and
stay
like,
inside.
I'm only here for the Ancien.
I'm here for that sweet, sweet beer, my friend. That's all I've got going on. Yeah, man. I mean, first off, congratulations. This is episode 80.
Perfect. You know? I mean, that's quite an achievement already. We're getting closer.
This might have been, you know, by now, because, you know, we took this long break since, what was it? Almost the end of July?
Probably, yeah.
Because I know, like, from July 30th on, I've basically been with my new family, which I'll talk about in a second. But, man, it's been It's been a long gap. So we would have been probably at episode 90 or something by now. But episode 80 is still a big milestone. I'm still really happy to do that. And I think really soon, far sooner than we think, episode 100 is going to be around the corner. And then I really think we should do
stop doing this.
Not only special. And then we should quit. Yeah, dude. Not only should we quit, but we should have some sort of either special thing for the listeners or some sort of like we should meet up and do maybe like a live one with some beers again because we haven't done that in so long. It's been a really long run. But yeah, like we said, I've been on this break. The last episode 79, I guess we did that like almost end of July. And yeah, I was announcing that, you know, I got a couple of little twins now and really, you know, thankful that everything is good. It was kind of a hard journey in the hospital. We had some difficulties getting everybody kind of balanced and on their feet. But after almost a couple of weeks or so, we finally ended up back home. And, you know, I have to say, because I've spoken to our friend Tim Hecking a couple of times about this experience so far, because he obviously has good advice being a dad himself, and it's funny. He's like, in his shoes, I know that he doesn't have the luxury of having a lot of family come and support him, unfortunately, and so. Knowing his stories for so many years now about what he, like what kind of help he would have appreciated but didn't have, we've been very lucky and very appreciative to not only have my mother-in-law come stay, I mean she was there for weeks and Maria as well, the sister, came and you know made really good food and just doing the laundry and helping with all the feedings and stuff and the shifts. That's been super helpful, and now. Since last Thursday, my mom is here in Munich. Yeah, man.
Ooh.
Mama Prince is in the house.
We got a mama bomb pretty early in the episode.
Oh, yeah, dude. I should have brought her on for the episode today. Yeah, Mama Prince is in town. I think she's having a lot of fun. I think she's really enjoying, like, mostly, I think she's enjoying being out of the house, like being out of Tennessee and maybe even enjoying privately. Probably she wouldn't say this. She might not say this, but I think she's enjoying having a little time away from dad. Just like having a little time for her where she, you know, she gets to be talked to and have the attention and, you know, have conversations and be involved and watch stuff together and. Just, you know, she gets to be the first one of the two of them to hold the twins and take a lot of time with them. And, you know, she's great right now. She's cooking. She's doing the laundry. I mean, that's what we need so much is like this background help, you know, and she's doing that perfectly. And then, you know, we have some shifts and some feedings that we need a third pair of hands for. And she's doing great. So that's, you know, right now things are. Of course, still very hectic and exhausting, but very grateful to have family helping and very grateful to have the chance to finally come back and do number 80 of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Which is awesome. Dude, I have to tell you about so much stuff. Because on top of all that, on top of, you know, taking this leave of absence and, you know, starting a new family and being really, really, really unbelievably busy with that. On top of that, I've also picked up like all these new jobs. And it's been a really cool thing so far. I mean, I'm trying to lock these jobs down. They're you know, some of them are like really close and feeling really good, and some of them are confirmed. And so what I can say so far is that so Efi wrote a television show. So Germany has this network called RTL, and then RTL has started a new streaming platform called TV Now. and they're getting some new shows off the ground. I guess they're trying to compete with, you know, Join and, of course, you know, Netflix and other streaming platforms, because that's just where TV's going anyway. And they have a new show that Efi wrote some of the episodes for. She was on the writer's room for like the whole series. And she wrote, I don't know how many episodes she wrote herself, but maybe 3 or 4. And so she wrote this show. It's called Wrong. And they just finished filming it this week, I think. So now it's completely ready to go. They're going to start putting it into post-production. And I, through her, somehow I got connected to the director, head writer, actor of the show. His name is David. And we linked up. We started talking, kind of becoming, I mean, we still haven't met in person. It's one of those just over the phone kind of, you know, friendly acquaintances things. And he kind of, you know, by coincidence said, oh, hey, I really loved Simple Swimmer, this most recent album that I put out. And I thought, oh, that's so nice of you. Thank you. And somehow it just came around to him saying, you know, we're looking for people to make the theme song for the television show. And so dude, he pitched me to Neue Zupa, which is the production company. And Neue Zupa loved what I gave them. Pimple Papa. The super sucks. And they liked it. They liked this other stuff that I had sent them. And so they pitched me to RTL, who had the final say.
They said no.
And you know, and they said no. But they said yeah. And so I got hired now officially. Like I was offered the rate and the deadlines and the scope of the project. I was offered to do the theme song for this new TV show, and I'm through the roof about that, man.
Congratulations.
I'm really excited about that. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm also kind of proud to share credits with Efi on a project of that size. I mean, we've shared names on really small stuff since university. You know, we had like some student films and some music videos and things like that. Nothing like, we didn't really work on anything together because we had such completely different fields in this or different departments in this one field. But now finally, you know, when you watch these episodes, it'll say, you know, maybe this one written by, you know, Efi Prince, and then this one, and then, you know, theme song or music by Jordan Prince.
That'd
and that's
be awesome.
Really cool.
But while we're there, have you already have some thoughts musically where you want to go? Simple Schwimmer kind of sound or something completely different?
I was curious what angle they wanted to take, because they want it to be really short. They want the theme song to be like 25 to 30 seconds. And I thought, okay, 25 to 30 seconds. What can you do with that much time?
A punk song.
And there's this, yeah, you could do... You could do some stuff like that. An entire punk song? Okay. There's this show on Netflix created by Judd Apatow. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Love. And it's super funny. It's really great. And it has a 27 or 25 second theme song. And it's this fat, thick, cool, sort of almost White Stripes sounding guitar drum theme song. Like, and it's super sick. Like, I need to send you the link because it's actually a really cool song. But it's just like 25 seconds. And I thought, oh man, you know, the show is about these like degenerate, you know, it's in the style of like the German show Jerks, kind of. It's just like, just they do awful, awful, awful shit. And it's like, how can I encapsulate, you know, that vibe of bad people doing funny, bad things with music? And I thought maybe that would be a good direction. And I thought about another theme song from this other Netflix
show. I think also about, because, yeah, ironic. When I think about this kind of humor that Jerks and many other of these kind of, for me, that are all in some forms replicate of that sense of humor that Ricky Gervais brought up with stuff like The Office, etc. Like this kind of pretty cringy humor. And like The Office, the American The Office also has a great theme song. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
Wait, the American Oh, I know you. Da, da,
yeah, it sounds pretty sweet. And you have the guitar and the fat drum kit comes in.
Right, yeah. The other, like, so that was just the first angle I thought. Maybe they wanted something kind of raunchy and, like, youthful sounding. Like, a bunch of teens spray painting.
Oh, we'll hear you as a cloud rapper again?
Actually, yes. But that's a different...
What?
In there too. I'll update you on that too. There is another chance to hear that. So basically, oh man, there's so much stuff to tell you about. So yeah, in the end, I had some ideas in my head about what might work. I haven't started any. I have one scratch idea so far, but they said in the end they want to go for this. You know, this kind of old, like 1980s, 1990s family sitcom music, like Family Matters or Full House. Like, whatever happened to responsibility? They want something like that, like cheesy, ironic family sitcom music, which I think makes sense too. So that'd be kind of cool. I think I'm going to be able to work also with our friend Tim again on this, which is really fun.
Sweet.
I love being able to work with him and actually give him money. Because sometimes I can't give him at all what he's worth. So this is cool. Yeah, they. I think we're going to go in that direction. We're supposed to have a meeting next week where I can actually hear like all the angles they want, and then I can really get started. But I'm really pumped about that. So that's the first thing. Officially hired to do the theme song.
Nice.
Really,
one more
really
question
about that. And
what is the weirdest instrument or use of an instrument that you could imagine for a TV show intro?
Oh, I mean, the weirdest instrument I could imagine using for maybe a sitar, or a melodica, maybe. I guess it depends on the style of show. Because I'm just thinking, like, most of the ones that they showed me that they want inspiration from is pretty standard, like piano, bass, drums, guitar. So I think if it was like a like some George Harrison sitar stuff, I think it would sound kind of
or just
kind of
a lonely didgeridoo.
Just a lonely.
Could be pretty cool though.
Brought to you by RTL. Wrong. The Neues Edie.
Or I got to picture this. I'm sure you know this horrible clip. Of a guy playing like the 20th Century Fox theme on a flute, but let's say not with his mouth.
Oh, he's farting through it or something?
I'll send you a link later.
Oh my god. I'm very curious now. 20th Century Fox, it was like dun 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 dun.
Yeah. Brum, boom.
Yeah, so there's that. And then just released on, what was it, September 3rd. On September 3rd, I dropped that new song with Moonmates Pieces. So that's fresh and out. And
yes, sir.
That was kind of an interesting process. And I wonder if some of the cool places that this song got into are correlated to the fact that they're going to have a new label. They're in the contract process now. Their new label distributed the song for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's why the song is in so many cool playlists.
Okay, because that's the thing. Another thing I miss by now, by not being on social media, I don't like see the feedback we're these days used to see on album and single releases, etc. Like the whole aftermath after release, I don't
So the song, I didn't really know what to expect from it. I enjoy the song. I really like it. We had put it together and Ben, the guitarist, had made the video. And I was impressed what he was able to do with like such limited time and footage from me and stuff too. And yeah, we just put everything together and dropped it. But leading up to the release, we had I think DistroKid, this self-distribution site. We had worked together to release it independently. And then something messed up. Like they got the announcement that, you know, when you release a song on Spotify or whatever, you get this announcement email that says like your song is ready to be pitched or something. So you get the information that it's in the system and it's waiting to be released. They got the email really early on and I never got it. So we were like less than 2 weeks from the release. And I was like, guys, I don't have this email. What's going on? Was there something wrong with the registration? And so Gloria, the singer in the band, went through like the YouTube music bed, something. She said YouTube music, whatever. Found out that I wasn't registered on the song. So I don't know if they made a mistake or if DistroKid made a mistake, but basically we have the song split 50-50, but I wasn't listed as an artist for the song at all.
And oh no, like, that's shitty.
I was like, this doesn't work. And so we tried to figure out how to save it. You know, can we write DistroKid? Can we try to do it again through CD Baby? But everything was getting kind of complicated and really stressful. And eventually they just said, why don't we try to get our new, because they're going to be with this new label soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a relatively decent, like it's a sister company to, it's a sister label to, I think, someone quite big. Maybe it's Sony.
What's it called?
MVKA Records. They're the record label from Boy. Boy is the only really notable artist that I've recognized from there. MVKA Records. But they seem to have a pretty good reputation. And so they're going to be, I think, signing with them. I don't know if it'll be official this year or something, but they wrote to them about distributing our song for free.
Mm-hmm.
And at first there was some confusion. I thought, you know, they thought maybe that the label doesn't want to do it just as a single. They want to start with their new album. And eventually it all came down to, yes, they're going to do it. And I didn't really have any expectations for this song. You know, I didn't put a lot of money into the marketing because I don't really have a lot of money right now. So I just thought, you know, we'll just put it out and just hopefully it does what it does. And I have a theory that it got into these good playlists because it came out through the label. I don't know if it would have gotten into the playlists without it. I can't say for sure. But it got into Germany's Indie Brand Neu.
Okay.
Which is great.
That's a bigger one, isn't it?
That's a big one. And I got into that one before with Stoned, but that was also through a label.
No.
And then it also got into New Music Friday India, which is kind of funny. Almost seems like a fake playlist.
Why?
I don't know.
There is new music being released in India on Fridays.
I guess. I mean, the cover is Drake. So I was just like, I guess they're just grasping for anything new. I don't know.
No.
And then on Amazon Music, it got into the American and the German playlist for bedroom pop, which is pretty cool. So yeah, they got into a few good ones I was really proud of, and some blogs wrote about it. So that was a positive release. I mean, the video underperformed in my opinion, but I still think it's a cool video either way. However, the song is good, and I'm really happy with that. And there's, because you just asked earlier if you would get to hear me again as a cloud rapper. Wait, I have another single coming out.
What? Why didn't you tell? I mean, like, I still from time to time play your music with you. Why didn't you tell me these kind of things?
Well, Pieces was just a project.
Yeah, I knew about that one.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other one sounds exactly way more interesting because it sounds kind of absurd.
It is absurd. It's a crazy song, dude. It's a crazy song. And it's so insane, and it's, for me, it's just a badass, crazy rap song. So I've mentioned him before a lot on here. Tom Yanks is a buddy of mine,
which I had the pleasure to meet, by the way, while we were on Pod Pause.
That's right. That's right. You got to meet him. We rode together to that concert.
Great guy.
Really cool guy. Really funny. He's becoming like an extremely talented hip hop producer. And we did this. He released his first album, I guess it was last year. Yeah, or maybe even earlier this year, called Bloom the Grinds, where I sang or rapped on like 4 or 5 songs. And that was a really liberating process for me. It was really fun to do something different like that. And then he sent me like 10 new beats 6 months later. And they had, I mean, I liked the beats from the old record too, but these had really developed and improved. And you could see like so much growth. And he had really like studied and gotten inspired. It was so cool.
But so probably, I know it already because he showed us quite a lot of new beats over his phone.
We showed it to you in the car. On the ride back, but we showed you a lot of songs from him, so I don't know if you remember it specifically. But we played it for you, just one time. But yeah, it's done, it's mastered, and it's gonna come out September 24th. So a week from Friday, a week from tomorrow.
Ooh, crazy.
I'm excited, dude. So we found the reason it's coming out so quickly behind Pieces was Moonmates had told me that they wanted to do this single together, and then within 28 days of this release, they're going to drop something else too, because they found out, and I don't know if it's true, actually, I just kind of believe them, because Gloria used to work for Sony Music, but she said that if you share a song with an artist, that for the following 28 days, you share each other's followers on Spotify.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, but they said that's the case when you split a song.
Okay.
So I think their followers like saw my catalog more regularly, and perhaps my followers saw their catalog more regularly, and maybe they're getting more streams and maybe I'm getting more streams. And I'm assuming, I don't have any way to prove that, but that's what they said. They said that's why they want to do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, cool. Why don't I take this new song that I have with Tom Yanks that had no release date, and let's put it in within 28 days of this release, and then maybe I can help Yanks get more attention, and you know, vice versa.
But do you think like the average Moonmates listener would be interested in Tom Yanks' sound?
Well, it's more about I'm sharing Moonmates listeners for Pieces, and soon I will be sharing Tom Yanks's For Our song. You know what I mean?
So you mean your listeners?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I meant.
Okay.
Within those, right. Oh, you're right. No,
dude,
it is about
your arm? Are you okay?
Huh? What's wrong?
What's going on in your arm?
Oh. I think it was just
you're bleeding.
I think it was a mosquito bite. It's already dry. I didn't even see that. No, I think you're right. I think I did misspeak. I think it is that I would be exposing Moonmates' followers to a Tom Yanks song. Which, I don't know.
You could always try.
I could always try. And who knows? I mean, for me, it's not really about anything other than dropping new music.
No.
Which
is it's crazy,
really,
by the way. Dude, you just got 2 kids. Got like 2 or 3 new jobs coming up or already going on. And released 2 new singles. Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Dude, plus throughout this entire time, I had pre-recorded like 10 weeks of my radio show.
Dude.
And they were just dropping every Sunday.
Dude. You're a machine.
Sometimes I need the reminder that I'm not doing absolutely nothing. Because I feel that way so much.
Dude, that's quite some output.
I should be more proud. I think I'm often too down on myself.
You definitely can be very proud of yourself.
That's cool. But yeah. So it's September 24th, we're gonna have "Waiting for Love" coming out with me and Tom Yanks together. I'm really excited about that.
Nice.
And yeah, our friend Ian made a pretty cool canvas for it for the Spotify page.
Okay.
and some nice artwork. I don't think there's going to be a video for this one, but just a fun single. So also rolling on like what else had been going on. Pieces like have come out.
At what point from the list are we now?
Okay, so I got hired for the theme show.
That was just a joke because you're in a mood like, and I expect like 10 to 12 more topics like that.
One, two, there's three more things. I think.
I don't want to rush you. Don't get me wrong.
No, I'm just excited to not forget them. What's an obvious one to say is that at the beginning of this episode there was like a little ad read for this beer company. So that was also something that I tried to get going for a while because I love this beer from your hometown and I wanted to potentially get free beer. Basically. Like I just wanted beer. But they liked these German language videos I do, and so I made a video ad for them promoting this tasting they're doing, and then he said he also liked the podcast, so they wanted to sponsor this episode, and so that was another thing that I got hooked up, which is pretty cool. And my favorite thing of all of these, I think it might be my favorite thing, is that this huge music company in Germany called Thomann. I'm right on the cusp and I really don't want to jinx it, but I think I might be, if this test shoot that I made today goes well, I could be making weekly videos for their YouTube page, and then maybe even additionally monthly or weekly videos for their TikTok page, which is really exciting because first off, I love creating content and I love talking about music.
And you love talk about creating content. Like it's
I love talking.
Yeah. Like a lot of meta levels.
And I love talking about creating content about talking about music. What? Yeah,
like, do you see your path a little bit? Like Jordan coming over from the States, being a musician to where you're now. Like, you're on a podcast talking about where you create content for other companies, which bases on, like, music. Like, three more layers.
Exactly. If it goes well, I would be, I had written to them about maybe doing something together. Originally, I wanted them to see if they wanted to, have an ad on my radio show. And it became a totally different conversation about maybe doing videos for them, like doing, some content creation. And yeah, I think it might've worked out. I mean, they're super nice and they're really supportive and they offered, if this works out, Mo, it will be the best paid job I've ever had.
Yeah, plus, plus you be the guy living the dream that someone like me had with 16. Like, if someone would have told me, hey, there is a job where you could try out all this amazing gear as a musician or content creator, whatever, get to keep it for a little while to test it, and get paid pretty good money for it, I wouldn't have believed that there even could be such a form of job or position at any company. You're living the dream.
I can't believe this. First off, I can't believe this type of job exists.
Yeah, I already wrote down a list of things you might you probably should like try out and make a video about and then maybe lose it or something like that.
I asked the lady, I was like, so the stuff that I use for the shoots, how long am I allowed to hold on to it? And she said, oh, you can hold on to it as long as you work for us. And
it's so crazy.
And she was like, yeah, sometimes the distributors ask me when they can have it back and I just tell them that they can't have it back yet. It's like, okay. It's easy.
Dude, that would be so awesome.
Man. Yeah, I really hope that works out. I just did the test shoot today. I thought originally they wanted me to get the gear and then make a test shoot with the whole mini studio thing. So there was a misunderstanding for like 5 days, and then eventually we got clear and it was like, no, do the test shoot with your phone, just showing how you present the information.
No.
So I did like a really, honestly, I really just like using TikTok's editing software for other videos because it's so user friendly.
Yeah.
You can really splice and edit, and not that I use effects or like voice effects or stickers or anything, but just adding captions, cutting it up real nice, making it smooth, adding a music bed. It's just really easy to do that. So I used TikTok and some nice lighting and a different background, and just I did this piece on Sufjan Stevens because I wanted to start with an artist that I'm passionate about. And I think it's pretty cool. I think it's because what they wanted, like their only note they gave me. So originally I pitched them 5 ideas. I wrote down 5 different video concepts that they could choose from for the videos. You know, like lyric breakdowns. I forgot what they were. I have them in this email. So I had 5 different ideas, and one of them was called The Moment. And The Moment is a video idea about looking at a moment of a song that gives the listener this like lasting sensation. I think the really generic example that I used when I pitched it was, think about the a cappella opera part in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Like it's something so unexpected, but it also cements the song as this like iconic, different, wonderful thing, as opposed to just any rock song that they have.
Yeah.
And so I used that as an example, and she said, okay, well, I think The Moment sounds cool. You know, and the only note they had was, you know, break down the moment of each song that you want to talk about, but somehow incorporate an instrument.
Yeah.
Because so far I hadn't, you know, I told them at the beginning, I don't think it makes sense to do like a generic thing where I can happily take like a, you know, 6,000-year-old guitar and be like, here's how you play, you know, You Are My Sunshine from Johnny Cash or whatever. But I said, so many people do that already, and so many better musicians do that than me. I don't want to be the guy who's like, here's a, you know, blues scale in B minor or whatever.
Dude, I picture you like 6 months from now, I picture you with a long hair wig and an 8-string guitar, like,
oh, yeah,
replaying Steel Panther songs.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh my God. Like, or just being the guy from, what's the guy from, oh man, everybody on the internet makes fun of him. He's like the standard guitar guy who's like, and here's my clean tone. What's his name? It's like Dan or something.
Yeah.
He works for Gibson, I think, or Marshall May. I think he works for Marshall maybe, but he's just this YouTube guy who's like, all right, we're going to try the new Boss M90 fuzz pedal. Here's my clean tone. And then goes into the fuzz. I was like, I don't want to be these guys. So basically I had to find a way to like break down. Go ahead.
If you really get into this kind of business now.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be invited to NAMM show in LA like next year or something.
A NAMM show?
Don't you know the NAMM show? Like NAMM, NAMM?
I don't think so.
It's like in January, it's the world's biggest like expo for music companies, instrument supplies, etc.
Oh, wow.
In LA. Where they bring in all the new stuff, whether they do, I don't know, like a vintage special edition influenced by some form of artist, or they just, I don't know, reinvented the guitar amp or whatever. Like all the new stuff is being presented in January in LA at this huge expo. You need us to get
there.
That
sounds sick. I need to get a couple of tickets there, yeah, and an open bar.
We'll take the ghost.
Yeah, oh dude, we'll take Ghost, and then we'll just leave him there, because we'll never see him again. He won't be on time for the flight.
Like, I'm leaving here now.
Oh, yeah.
There's drum kits everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like drums. Yeah, so. Oh my god. Yeah, I didn't even know about Nam. It sounds like that in America when they say Nam, it's always like the Vietnam War.
Okay.
You're gonna go to Nam.
Damn,
it's Nam.
Oh no.
But dude, it's been like long story short, a lot of trying to get new things set up, and I also finally the last thing of this job chapter, and then we can talk about something probably more interesting for people, is but this does connect to the immigrant part, interestingly enough. I do have a new partnership with my German language videos now with a language learning company from, mm-hmm. from America. So it's like in Lingua or Lingoda or Busu or, you know, Duolingo. It's a company called Pimsleur. P-I-M-S-L-E-U-R.
Pimsleur.
Pimsleur. And they have a, you know, kind of a traditional, I mean, they have some cool features, but they have like a traditional language learning website. You go there, you have an account, and they teach you a language. And I contacted them and I sent them my videos. Like, I think I sent them my 4 most viewed videos,
mm-hmm.
and said, you know, I'd love to try and set something up. And they have me registered now as a commission influencer for them, which is ridiculous to say out loud.
What does that even mean?
So that means I'm registered through their affiliate account, and it means that I get money on commission for every person that signs up either for their free trial, their 7-day free trial, or for people that buy a class.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get money through my affiliate account every time. So we agreed on the rate and the percentage, and now I have an account with them. And so now in the comments of these German videos, I keep forgetting because it's so new, but I've been putting like, you know, are you learning German like me? You know, try this website here and click this link and you get a discount on the first class. And so that's also really cool.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, and
that makes the most sense.
The most obvious partnership, and great that it works out for you.
Yeah, I hope that kind of picks up. I mean, that's something that probably will bring the least amount of money, but I think it's kind of cool to have something like that just running in the background while I try to do like the Tolman stuff and this theme show and the theme song.
No. Crazy and, shit going on.
It's crazy, dude. And next week I'm playing a wedding in Austria.
In Austria? Where in Austria?
Mühlbach am Hochkönig.
Okay, I have no idea where that is.
I think that's does that sound right at all? Mühlbach. Yeah, Mühlbach am Hochkönig.
But wait a second, Hochkönig, I think. Yeah, I have an idea where it is. Okay.
It says it's a municipality in St. Johann im Pongau district, Salzburger Land, Austria.
Like,
what?
Like, these syllables make no sense at all in English.
Just
gibberish.
It is gibberish, dude. But that's, I mean, that's a quick, I mean, weddings are great, man. That's a really easy payout, and it's acoustic. You know, the only downside is now I have my driver's license.
Yeah, what? You even managed to do that? Where's my applause button? Why are we not in the studio?
Dude, I know, right?
You even managed that? I cannot believe it.
I can't believe I didn't even tell you that. Yeah, I got my driver's license all cleaned up and done and figured out. I think it was the first, maybe the second week that I got home from the hospital. So it was like the craziest time ever to leave the house and go drive for 90 minutes. But I did my final class on like a Tuesday at like 8 in the morning. with this guy who was a different instructor from the one that I had. He was kind of strict, but I liked him. He was really kind of quiet and serious. And I told him that I messed up the last test because I got nervous and took a wrong left turn, like the wrong light.
Mm.
So we took like 75 left turns. We just drove in circles at different. I was like, all right, I feel confident with it now. And then the 2 days later was the exam and I was nervous again. But then I walked into the school to meet the instructor from the TUFAO.
Yeah.
And dude, the guy walks up in a Hawaiian shirt, tucked into like khaki shorts, and it's like three buttons open. And he's like, he talks to me for a second in German. And then he says, but you're from New Orleans, right? And I was like, yeah. And then he switches to English and he says, oh, New Orleans, that's a great city. I went there in 1983, had a really great time. I was like, this is going to work for me. This is going to work.
Nice.
And dude, and then the whole game changed, you know, because the first one was a dead silent car ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so in my head that everyone's watching me, mm-hmm. that's why I messed up. And in this one, we got in the car and Hawaiian shirt was like, hey, do you mind if me and your instructor just chit chat in German while you drive?
Yeah.
I was like, please do that. Please do that. And so then I felt invisible again. So I relaxed because they were just chatting about holiday and Corona and, you know, taxes and whatever. And I was just driving and it was so easy. And we eventually got back to the place and he said, you passed. And he gave me my license. In the moment, I didn't know that they can just print it out for you.
Yeah, sure.
I thought I have to go to some like KVR.
Yeah, you have to do that for the card, for the like the plastic card.
Dude, he gave me the card.
What?
He gave me the card in the driving school.
Okay, that's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah, I just I sat there. We got in. He sat down and got on his computer, and I went to the bathroom. I came back out and he just handed me the Führerschein and it had my copied picture from my Offenheitstitel and just gave it to me and said, congratulations, you know, be safe out there.
Nice. And now you're ready to go 130 miles per hour. That makes sense, yeah.
Dude.
On a German Autobahn.
The drive to pick up my mom from the airport was the coolest ride ever, dude. Just blasting music, driving like 140 kilometers an hour. Just that was a blast, man. Yeah, I got that. So it means I can drive to that gig next week.
Nice.
Which means I can't drink, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that changed. Like, imagine like driving around Germany playing gigs again with Mark. That changed the whole thing.
Now we can all drive.
Because it was always clear that like, okay, Mark and I are gonna drive, and we're gonna like. Talk about who's gonna drive, and in most cases, Mark kind of subtle makes clear that he really wants to be the only one that drives the car. And so
it's a classic car.
And it was always clear that like we could be drinking.
And so we did.
And when I think about that and his mindset regarding that, I don't think that many things will change actually.
No, probably not. I mean, on the way to gigs, though, it'll be easier because if we take my van.
Now you get the van. Now you're dead.
We got the van, dude. So we can load in the drum kit, the bass stuff, and then it's automatic.
No,
so we can all drive.
Here. He didn't get the van because of his kids, but he saw the opportunity to finally get a band van.
Hell no.
And did
it. It's for the tour. It's for the future tours, man. I'll strap the kids to the top of the rope or something.
you got a little scooter like I have, or to bring the kids to kindergarten and stuff.
Exactly.
The van's for the boys.
The van's for the boys, bruh. For the boys. Yeah, dude. I'm so pumped for the next trip out. Do you hear anything from your musician friends or from anything in the radio world about anything? The thing is, what's crazy is I see so many festivals that are like they are happening in some form, but then you hear about Delta coming, and then you think there's like a possible another lockdown coming. So it's like, what am I supposed to? How's this supposed to work?
Yeah, like I've been to and heard about events like we know from Nuremberg, where you played your solo show, and like you said, Tom Yanks and me were coming with you, like seated like in a cool open space. Like I was at an event, it was a podcast live show basically in the middle of this island within the Isar where Deutsches Museum is at.
Yeah.
Like they have a, how do you call it? Dude, like the space between houses that is part of the
property. Like the garden area.
Yeah, kind of. Like that was there, stuff like that. And I had to think about you because that's something I got to hear about through the station. Like Isar Inselfest happened, actually.
Oh, it did happen.
It did happen. Like there were way less artists per day on the stages, longer breaks, not that huge stages as far as I got to hear. But these kind of things happen, but still this, as far as I got it, it still feels like a kind of weird compromise to people. Like the show we played on Theresienwiese somehow.
Yeah, it's I can't believe they did Isar Inselfest because I mean, I didn't even hear about any artists in Munich that played that. Or did you? Did you see any? I didn't even see any advertisement for that.
I did not as well. Like I only like heard about that because M94.5, as they had before every year, had their like own stage ever presenting.
Right, that was the stage that we played
exactly.
Once, right? Right.
Where Tony like did the onstage hosting and announced us.
That's right. That's right.
2 years ago.
I forgot about like, that. 2 years ago.
Beginning of September, 2 years ago. Yeah. Whatsoever. And I only heard about that because I work for that station that presents that stage there. But I also looked at the lineup and like from the Munich scene, I didn't recognize anyone. I need to check. Let me check who played there. Because I got it here. We had...
Like, I didn't even see any bands that I know on Instagram say anything
the
about.
The Charles? I didn't hear about them.
Oh, the Charles. That's Xavier Darcy's project.
Oh, yeah. It's Xavier Darcy here. Okay. Okay, so there were people from the music. Saguru?
Oh, yeah. I know him. I booked him for a hoodoo folk session.
Okay. Sophia Linovich?
Don't know her.
Listen to, okay, that's only the, what's her name? Jiska or Yiska?
Don't know her
and
either.
King of, King of Cons.
Do you know King of Cons?
Yeah, I know them. Okay.
Don't know them. No, but that's
yeah,
cool.
But that's
yeah, it's a weird kind of place to be. Yeah.
No.
It's a weird place to be in terms of thinking about the future of music still. It's really kind of a confusing... I mean, maybe that's why I was so driven to look for work in a different direction in the last few months, because there's just like, you know, with releasing music, honestly, there's no money in that anyway, unless you're a huge artist. And then in terms of, you know, there's no touring for Simple Swimmer at all. So it's like, what are we... What can I do that I enjoy doing that I can make money with? And like, well, maybe I can just try and make some fun videos.
Yeah, I'm sure that like events or like phases like the one you're living through as an artist for like already or now it's already like almost 2 years, like almost, yeah. Like almost 2 years, surely makes you think about like other opportunities, other ways of like doing something. First of all, because you need to existentially also something to bring your joy as well in best case scenario, etc. Like today, I can only imagine how bad this must be because for me and I really enjoy playing with you on this certain level of professionalism, But still, for me, it is a hobby. Like, my existence does not depend on, like, money that I get from concerts or releases or anything.
Right.
And so I realized as well that I really, really missed it when we played our first gig this summer again. But still, I can only imagine how bad this must be for when this is your thing and when this originally was the plan. And
yeah, totally. I mean, what's the funny thing is, like, early 2019, I split up with my old manager, and then maybe 2 or 3 months later, I got signed up with Dominic from Grand Hotel.
And like, booking agency, like,
yeah, like a proper one.
Yeah.
And I was really excited about that because I didn't think I had a chance of getting anyone else for a long time. I really thought I was, like, out of the game now that I was split up with this other guy.
No.
And then, so, you know, this guy, Dom, we chatted on the phone. He really understood where I was coming from and understood my concerns. And he set me up with a couple of gigs that year, but I was new to his roster, so I didn't expect too much. And then 2020 came the very next year. And dude, I have probably sent 4 messages to him since 2019 that was like, happy birthday and happy new year.
No.
You know, twice.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
That's super crazy. Yeah, and what I wanted to say is, like, that, and what I meant earlier, like, you can really be proud of yourself. Like, not only have you started a completely new chapter by becoming a dad, but also have you, like, found new ways of, like, work, or, like, new opportunities within your possibilities regarding jobs, etc. Still doing stuff that you enjoy and that you know, like, you were not forced into a situation because you were too long only frustrated about that you cannot like, live the life as a musician as you did before, and you were not luckily you were not forced to, like, to do something completely different, like to switch fields completely, but you were able to build up on stuff that you created throughout the last years and find, like, new ways of output, and with that as well, like, a financial income, and that's great.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I was really thankful that I, because I was really on the line for a long time about going and just picking up a bunch of gastronomy jobs again.
No.
And those jobs just kill me, man. I get so depressed, and I have so much anger, and I have so much hostility in those jobs, and I just don't handle them very well at all. I just can't really. This sounds bad because, of course, with Ego and with M94.5 and with Tollman, of course, I still have bosses, but it's different. It's different because we're in charge of the content we create here.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of the content I create for Ego, unless it's just really, really too left field for them, in which case I can totally respect that. But with Tolman as well, I think I have a lot of creative control. So it's a different kind of thing, because the bosses at these other jobs, it's a different kind of boss. It's like they have such a strict box of limitations in which you can exist. And if you don't come in with this energy to perform and give them absolutely everything you have,
no,
to serve a customer a cup of coffee,
no,
then it's like, man, what's the I don't have any joy in doing that. You know, if someone's coming in at 5 minutes to close, I don't want to be excited to be like, oh, you can still have a piece of cake. I put it away, but I'll just take it right back out again. I don't have that, because all I ever thought about when I was on shifts at cafes, restaurants, whatever. The only place I didn't work was a bar, which is kind of dumb. I should have. But at all these other places I've worked, my only mindset was what I could do or would do when I was off.
No.
And I booked my whole life around my shifts. I'd be like, okay, I get off at 6, so I could bike home. So at 6:30, I can change clothes and go to the concert by then and blah, blah, blah. It was never like, cool, another, like, easy breezy shift. This is great money. I love the customers, you know?
Yeah. You were lagging a bit, but I think I get it. And
you there?
Still, I must say, I have so much respect for people that work in gastronomy and like do it with passion, because I really admire that. Because
of course,
like I had quite some gastronomy jobs as well, and I had kind of the same issues at times, like you just described. But yeah, it's a completely another world and a completely another world of thoughts about what does work, what does a shift, what does your input lead to, what form of output, etc. It's another game,
right? Yeah, for the people that enjoy doing it and do it well, man, I love them just like I love the doctor that gives me the right medication or the bus driver that gets me to my location. Like, if they do a job and they do it well, that's a totally different thing. That's just me, you know, respecting someone who does their job well. But it's a real problem when people get stuck in a job they don't belong in.
No.
And there's so many people that just don't belong, you know, unfortunately, they just don't belong flipping burgers or, being a bike courier or serving coffee or something, because they just hate it. And I know that feeling so well.
Yeah.
I mean, the other day, we took the whole family out to Giesinger Garden here in Munich to get a burger. And it was so packed because I think 1860 Munich was playing a game. And it was really full of people. And this waiter was so stressed out. He was so stressed out. I felt so bad for him. But I tipped him extra, because even though he was sweating and panicked and frustrated and making mistakes, he was so friendly to me. Constantly just so like, hey man, yeah, sure, one second. Just let me just drop this off and I'll come get your bill. Like, he was just so calm with me. But then I would see him turn away and like jog off, and like get someone would like hand him something and be like, oh, it's this way. And he would be like, oh, sorry.
No.
And then he'd come back to me and be like, so yeah, the total is going to be $58.40. Mm. You know, and I was like, he's so smiley and nice. And I was like, this guy, you know, he's really good at this, whether or not he wants to be here, but it feels like he wants to be there.
No.
And that's just something I could never do.
That's amazing.
Never fake it.
And
yeah.
Yeah. Just like it's like when we talk about, because I also at times see the other way around, talking about people that work in rather like creative jobs, etc.
Right.
That probably thought for a time that this would be their thing, but they realize it is not. And I would say experience like the same kind of frustration, but it probably feels different because it's a whole nother like work environment, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not like good as well. And so it is important that you, like, I guess for any field that has some form of importance for society, like still find people that do it with passion. May it be,
that's the thing,
being a musician, a TV writer, a waitress, a doctor, whatever.
Yeah,
that's crazy. By the way, I read a great book by an American on my trip to Lago Maggiore, by an American anthropologist.
There we go. What is that? What is that in German?
Anthropologe.
Makes
like,
sense. Yeah.
Just without a TH.
I think isn't the same construct for urologist, like urologo.
Yeah.
I think it's the same. Yeah.
And it's called Bullshit Jobs. David Graeber.
That's awesome.
It's name. And I read it in German. But a bullshit job, as he describes it, is not a job that is, I don't know, shitty paid or the circumstances are really hard to work and perform under. But by a bullshit job, he talks about jobs that the employees themselves feel like they do not do for any good in their job, and they do not give anything to society or for a greater meaning. And it would not make a difference if they would not attend to their job.
Oh, that makes total sense.
And he originally wrote an essay about that like 8 years ago or something that was published and republished all over the web and got a lot of feedback, hundreds of people who wrote in about their experiences because they found themselves in his description of these bullshit jobs. And he brings these stories in it as well, and it's super, super interesting. David Graeber, bullshit jobs.
David Graeber. Bullshit jobs. That's an awesome concept. I mean, it is absolutely a real thing. I mean, you see, like the more and more that I'm on TikTok, you see so many different types of people sharing different kinds of honesty that you haven't seen before. I think that's why the platform is like surpassing everything. It just surpassed more video views than YouTube.
What?
Like in terms of people's attention to the app, it's unbelievable.
That's crazy.
That's really crazy. And they are like viewing time. It's past YouTube. And there's people who have, there's entire trends about people not confessing, but telling a story about a boss who comes up and says like, Johanna, you're 5 minutes late, you know, don't you want to be here? And then being like, of course I don't want to be here. This is only about money.
No.
Or jobs that have ridiculous rules. Or, you know, like there was a woman who was reenacting an experience she had working at a retail store. And her shift starts at 11. So she showed up at like 10:58, 10:59. And the manager was like, when you come into work, your shift starts 15 minutes early. So be here 15 minutes early. And so the woman said, oh, okay. So I come in 15 minutes early and I clock in, right? And she's like, no, you clock in at 11, but you should be here 15 minutes early.
Mm.
She's like, well, why would I show up for unpaid time? Like, shouldn't I get paid for that time? And they're like, no, it's just, you know, showing loyalty to the company.
Yeah.
It's like loyalty to the company. Like my only job here is to get paid. That's the only reason I am here.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had jobs like that. They were like, show up 15 minutes early and don't clock in until your shift starts. It's like, what?
No. Yeah, he talks about stuff like that a lot. And like it goes pretty deep also into like some social logic. I don't know if you say that. Theories, etc. And like questions some concepts that really sit with us since generations, like, when has it started that we don't like sell our goods or our work force in some form?
Mm-hmm.
But we rather sell our time, like because a lot of jobs, it's about like showing up and being there. Like we hear a lot of conversations about like, okay, there is a research that says an employee in a certain field could get the work done. He gets done in 8 hours, in 6 hours. Why don't reduce the shift to 6 hours instead of wasting like the other 2 hours? And he questions like certain concepts like that, or what means questions? Like he has done a lot of research and has a lot of explaining within the historic context, etc. About stuff like, yeah, when did it start that we as human beings sell our time and organize, like you described, all our time we have as humans within a day, within the week, within the year, whatever, around a certain amount of time that we sold to someone else?
Yeah, that is exactly it, man. You're selling your time. That actually just reminded me of this other person's, not confessional, but this other video that they talked about the same idea but with a different story. Selling, yeah, what was it, you're let me think, you're giving, it's your time. It was a computer software person. Okay, so the prompt on the video was people who work these basic 9-to-5 office jobs, like, what is the work that you're doing and do you really need that much time to do it? And this guy stitched the video, and he's like, look, I work. He's like, if you're a computer competent person, then at most office jobs, you're doing about 2 hours of work because you know how to do Excels. You can do, you can type out, you can bust out PDFs, you get things printed off, get things scanned, get things edited and adjusted and stuff on the computer. And he's like, most people, especially in higher management positions, are really computer inept. Older generations, like, just think about your parents, probably can't bust out things on the computer as fast as you are, you and I could.
Mm.
So you have younger generations who come in, get these office jobs, bust out the work that's needed, but you can't just say, okay, I did all the work, I'd like to go home now.
And so you have to pretend that you're still working. Know,
which should be the way that it is. Yeah, exactly. Sorry, there was a delay. Yeah, exactly. Like he said, it's 2 hours of working and then 6 hours of pretending to work, which
to
blows.
To be very busy when the boss comes around your desk or something like that.
Dude, I saw someone set up that had a button that is switched when the door opens, like just a little mm-hmm. bit to his office. So they showed like Excel spreadsheets and like emails and like charts and graphs and all this stuff. Like it looks like really important stock work. And then as soon as the door, like when the door is closed, he's playing Minecraft. But when the door just barely opens, a tab switches and it's all the work stuff and Minecraft mutes.
Nice.
So just like, poof. He's like, hey, how's it going? Oh yeah, it's a crazy day. And as soon as the door closes, boop, back to Minecraft.
That's awesome.
I was like, that's pretty slick, man.
That's awesome. And talking about time, bro, I actually think I have to call it around here.
That's perfect, man. I wanted to cross an hour and we did that already, so that's perfect.
But I feel like there's still so much that we missed out on through our longer break. When will I hear you again, buddy?
Let's just text about it because Tuesday, I would love to do is keep Tuesdays as like a regular work day, the one day I can get out of the house for now. But let's just text. Maybe we can do a call on Monday or Wednesday of next week. I'd like to. So the thing is, for people who are waiting for the show to come back, I know a few people are. I still can't 100% promise that I can be every single week right now. Worst case scenario, I will try to do some voice memo updates and communicate things with Mo to have on the show. But I will try to do that now. I think it might be possible to do that. Mm. So let's just text maybe Monday or Wednesday. We could talk, even if it's just a half an hour episode or something, to finish up everything that we have to catch up on. Because, yeah, like you said, I basically just rattled off about jobs I was doing, but I want to hear way more about you, and I want to talk more about these larger scope topics like this job thing, because I find that super interesting. Yeah,
so do I.
But, dude, what an absolute pleasure to see your beautiful face again.
I can only give that back.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Seems like we only got finished in time.
There you are. What did you say? Yeah, what did you say?
I just said it seems like we just got finished in time. Now the technical issues started.
Exactly. Nice, man. Okay, really, really great to see you. Thanks for making the time, and I hope you're enjoying your month free, and I really can't wait for the next one.
Yes, sir. All the best to the fam. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely, dude. Talk to you soon, buddy. Bye-bye.
Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over now, baby blue.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.